From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. North Korea has canceled Wednesday's high-level talks with the South and says the U.S. will have to undertake careful deliberations about the fate of the upcoming summit between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and U.S. President Donald Trump because of joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises. VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman tells us this is not unusual for the North.
Well, this is right in line with previous North Korean activity, canceling talks just hours before they were scheduled to happen, blaming a bilateral defensive exercise between the United States and South Korea, which it has also known about for a long period of time. This, to most analysts, will be seen as posturing, an attempt to get some leverage.
State Department spokespoman Heather Nauert said as of now, the U.S. is still going ahead with plans for the summit with Kim.
Kim Jong-un had said that he understands the importance to the United States that we conduct these joint exercises. These joint exercises continue to go on.
Seoul said Wednesday's talks between the North and South were to have focused on demilitarization and plans to formally end the Korean War. According to Afghan forces, they've pushed the Taliban back after fierce fighting broke out in the pre-dawn hours Tuesday. Taliban fighters attacked from the north and reached within 3 kilometers of the center of the province. But Afghan ministries of defense officials said their forces were fighting outside the city of Farah, and they stopped the Taliban's advance just to the north. Eyewitnesses have told VOA that Taliban are still inside Farah city, and their fighting continued later Tuesday, and it occurred in a number of back streets. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. And Gaza mourners buried their dead after Israeli forces opened fire on protesters angered by the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. Many world leaders have condemned Israel's use of force during the protests, which resulted in 60 deaths and 2,700 people being injured or wounded. Rupert Colville is spokesperson for the U.N. High Commissioner for Human Rights.
Of those injured, 155 are in critical condition. 6 children and a health worker were among those who lost their lives, and 10 journalists suffered injuries from gunshot wounds.
In response to the criticism of Israel, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley said Tuesday Israel used restraint in response to deadly clashes with the Palestinians at the Gaza border and blamed Gaza's ruling Hamas militant group for the violence. Europe and Iran sought a united front Tuesday to save the nuclear deal U.S. President Donald Trump abandoned last week. VOA's Jeff Custer reports.
Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif arrived in Brussels ahead of a meeting with his British, French, and German counterparts. He said he held good and constructive talks with EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini. Many European diplomats doubt privately that the 2015 accord between Iran and 6 world powers can survive the reimposition of U.S. sanctions ordered by Trump. However, the European powers say they will stick by the terms of the 2015 pact, giving Iran sanctions relief in return for an end to its nuclear ambitions. Jeff Custer, VOA News.
President Trump's pick to head the CIA says the agency should not have undertaken a harsh interrogation program after 9/11. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani has that story.
Gina Haspel did not go that far during her Senate confirmation hearing last week, but in a letter to Intelligence Committee Vice Chair Mark Warner, she writes, "With the benefit of hindsight, the CIA should not have conducted the program." The letter appears aimed at shoring up support for a confirmation, which hinges on backing from key Democrats. Warner asked Haspel to write the letter amid a fresh debate over the now banned torture techniques. Haspel faces questions over her running of a covert CIA site where terror suspects were brutally interrogated. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Last Sunday, a group of Uzbek human rights activists laid a floral wreath at a statue in the center of the country's capital. It commemorated the 13th anniversary of the massacre of 400 civilians in the Central Asian nation, all of them shot to death by the military during anti-government protests, allegedly on orders of the late dictator. To Human Rights Watch investigator Steve Swerdlow, that simple act of humanity, the laying of the wreath, shows that the change for the better is afoot in Uzbekistan. While more still needs to be done, he says this is one of the biggest developments, the release of long-held activists, journalists, and democratic activists. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.